This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I got a call from our assistant program director, John Winter, and he said, "Are you furious with me?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" Apparently, I butt-dialed him as I was walking the dogs, and they were acting up, and I guess I was screaming at them the exact time that I butt-dialed him, and he answered the phone, and he thought I was screaming at him. I guess he answers the phone, and I start screaming, "What the hell is the matter with you? What is wrong with you, you moron?" And it was the dogs.
This is DCR.
You can't talk down to them like that. What do you mean? They're animals.
They're
smarter than that.
Well, I don't know about that. He ate a tree.
On 98.7 ESPN. Follow me into
the jungle. All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. The show, of course, is DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. Come up at 8 o'clock, it's KJZ. And then Greeny, who thefted something from our show yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe when we do a little CMT. Chris, I really wasn't concerned, and now I have a bit of concern about Saquon Barkley and the start of the football season. Do you have that same worry after hearing what he had to say yesterday?
I don't have that worry because of what he had to say yesterday, Dave. I mean, he pretty much gave the company line. He didn't want to commit to anything. We know he's not going to be full go at the start of training camp, and he was non-committal about being available for week one. But that's what should happen at this point because it doesn't serve him or the Giants by coming out there and putting that hard deadline on when he'll return. That doesn't make sense. We know a lot of this is going to be based on how he feels and how that reconstructed knee responds. Now, I'll say this. He got injured in week two of last season. You would think that there would be enough lead time that he would be available at the start of this season. Now, I'm not going to say week one, but sometime early on. But the only thing is, man, you just never know how Saquon is going to respond to this. With athletes in general, they respond differently to having these types of injuries and coming back from them. Like I had a multi-ligament knee reconstruction coming out of college, and I was able to be available for training camp week one, but I'm a defensive lineman. Saquon Barkley is a running back. A lot of what makes him special is that he's an explosive athlete. I mean, you're talking about the ability to stop and start, to have the jump cuts, the change of direction. Like, that's what makes Saquon Saquon. So that those types of movements put a lot of stress on that knee, and it's just a matter of how he responds as he tries to get himself into football shape. It's going to be interesting to see, but if I had to bet it one way or the other, I would bet that Saquon Barkley will be out there for week one for the Giants.
All right, I want to take a listen to what Saquon Barkley had to say. So let's do that, and then we'll react off of it. Here he is on his status right now.
I've been asked a lot. I guess that's the theme of the summer going to be when I'm going to be back. But no, I don't have an answer, to be honest. I'm not trying to lead it up to it and stuff like that or build something up. I don't have an answer. It's a fun process, but it's a tough process at the same time. So just got to continue to listen to my body, listen to the trainers, listen to the coaches, and just take it day by day.
Is it at least safe to say, I mean, day one, you're not going to be able to go full go, right?
I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see, right?
How about week one? Do you feel like you'll be ready to play then?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Just taking it day by day and just listening to my body. And whenever I'm able to get out there, make sure that I'm 110%, not just for, the safety and healthy of myself, my well-being, but just so I can go out there and compete at a high level and show the world who Saquon is.
Well, this is time for now. Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I got to be honest. I mean, a year? I mean, it'd be a full year. I guess it'd be 51 weeks. I'm expecting Saquon Barkley at a very high level, Rick, in week one of the season. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's my expectation right now.
Well, your expectation is that because you've seen it done. I mean, Adrian Peterson did it and everything else.
Did it in 8 months.
Different. Yeah, but everyone's different, though. And don't forget, I mean, he had a surgery on October 30th. And he didn't get the surgery right away. It took a while.
They had to wait for the swelling to go down, right?
Yeah. So October 30th. And again, I think people feel like he should be back in week one because you see what kind of physical specimen he is. And, posting videos of him working out and cutting and his, say quads and everything else. But the reality with him is you picked up his fifth-year option, but, I mean, he's also looking at his long-term future. And, you know, you heard him with the Bitcoin and generational wealth. That's obviously something that's on his mind. So the last thing he wants to do is get, you know, try to appease people by coming back as soon as he can and then re-injuring himself. Because he hasn't stayed healthy the last couple of years. His first year was amazing.
First year, phenomenal. Second year, injured. Third year, gruesome
most of the season
early on.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years, he's missed 17 games. I mean, that's not, with your second overall pick, that's not something that's great. And the longevity of running backs is already something that we know isn't great.
But this is the time you're supposed to produce. Like, the expectation is maybe year 7, 8, 9, you're not the same running back, or maybe you're not even with the team anymore. But years 2, 3, 4, you're absolutely dominant. And we have never gotten that from him.
No, his first year we saw dominant.
1 year!
No, listen, you're not wrong. But in his mind, though, as much as you as a fan want to see him push through this and get back as soon as humanly possible, he's also thinking about his longevity moving forward. And if he has to, take it a little bit slower than people would like, and he comes back, you know, week 3 instead of right out of the gate in week 1 because, you know, mentally he feels better about his knee in that situation, then that's what it's going to be. I don't think he's in any rush. Like, he's going to come back when his knee feels like he said 110%.
I understand that, but the Giants need to win games this year. There is no, you know, push it to next year. And I get you don't want to rush him back, but, you know, I go back to my statement. They need to win games, and they need to win games right off the bat this season. You can't have another year where you're 1-4 and, you know, second half of the season becomes unimportant football. You need to win that Broncos game week 1.
Yeah, Dave, I'm with you. I'm tired of the double-digit losses for the Giants. They've gone 4 consecutive seasons with double-digit losses. Something about that has to change, and based on what we've seen from this team and how they've constructed this roster, it's not going to change the way the Giants fans wanted to without Saquon Barkley being a big contributor to what they're trying to do. So you're right. You want to see Saquon sooner rather than later, but the organization has made their position clear too. Our friend of the show, Dan Graziano, said yesterday on NFL Live that the Giants want to do right by Saquon long term. So they're not going to push him to be back. You know that Saquon's going to want to be back, but Ronnie Barnes and that medical staff, they're going to take a conservative approach with this. So I think that Giants fans have to understand, like, when we see Saquon, you can have confidence that this is going to be the Saquon Barkley that you saw in the 2 years prior when he's been healthy. This is not going to be a diminished version.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why you went out and signed Devontae Booker too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To afford yourself the opportunity to give him time. Because here's the thing about you, Dave, and I get what you're saying, because now as a fan, like, I feel the same way about my team. Like, I want them back. Like, it frustrates me that, you know, Jacob DeGrom has something always going on and everything else. He's missing starts. But the reality is, he comes back and he's not 100% and he doesn't produce, you're not going to give him any extra credit because he's playing hurt.
No.
You won't give him any extra credit. Or if, God forbid, he comes back in week 1 because you want him as a fan because we got to win that first game and he hurts himself again, all you'll talk about is how injury-prone this guy is. The people that advise Saquon Barkley are telling him to take his time. I can guarantee that.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's true, and I'm not trying to be unfair to him. I don't know. I mean, this is a really important season for the Giants, and he's, if not the most important player on offense, he's probably second to Daniel Jones. And I think to have the ultimate success, he needs to be healthy and he needs to produce a really big-time season.
Yeah, I don't even know. I wouldn't put him second most important.
No?
No, I would put Daniel Jones 1. I would probably put offensive line / Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
As 2. Yeah. The offensive line stinks. I don't care how good Saquon Barkley is. It's not going to matter.
Well, we've seen that in the past.
Okay, so
whatever. We don't need to split hairs with that. He's very important. Is that fair to say?
No, you're right. He's very important. But, I mean, he's also thinking about, I mean, again, you guys didn't love the fact that he's talking about Bitcoin and everything else and creating generational wealth.
No,
well,
I didn't.
Part of creating generational wealth is sticking around for a long time. And rushing back from an ACL with meniscus damage, which is the big thing, is it's not the ACL. It's the meniscus damage, because that leads to cartilage damage, which leads to arthritis, Todd Gurley style. That's not what he wants.
You keep barking up that tree with Todd Gurley, don't you?
Well, I saw Gimpy. I mean, he was lipping all around.
Oh, you're taking shots at Todd Gurley.
Well, listen, I try to help out. I'm like, hey, man, I was going to give him some, you know, some doctors I know, and he'd try to fight me. That's fine.
No. There, you said, hey, Mr. Gurley, I'm Rick DiPietro. You might know me from my NHL fame. I have a doctor I might want to let you work with and introduce you to, and he now tried to fight you. I don't feel like I'm getting the whole story.
No, I may have. I mean, listen, I don't think I necessarily started the conversation the right way with the whole, you look like you're a little gimped up. Oh, that was probably not the best.
And you were lubricated too, right?
Well lubricated.
Yeah, you were sauced up a little bit.
So you mocked him and then were surprised that he felt the way about it?
Yeah, but I said it in a, like a nice, jokingly kind of cordial manner.
Did he find it to be a nice, joking, cordial? No.
Clearly not.
No.
Not at all. No,
obviously, he wanted to fight you.
Yeah, which probably would have lasted longer than the fight I actually saw that night. Because that was a quick one. But by that time, we were through dinner. So that was a couple bottles of wine. And then we were at the fight when in the back for a little bit. So by the time I saw him, I was feeling pretty good.
Yeah. So he probably hates you.
Oh, hate despises me.
Yeah.
Despises me.
Yeah. I don't disagree. Let's go to Jim in Madison. Jim, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, morning, peeps. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
See what you did there. Good morning, Jim.
I want to talk about Saquon, but I also wanted to mention the idea from, I think, yesterday of Dave's luxury rest stop. That's a great idea, and you got to run with it. I mean, Exit 56, Dave's Restination is what I would call it.
Look what he does. Exit 56, the Lawrence Taylor exit off the highway. And
I don't know if you want any rest areas associated with Lawrence Taylor.
Why?
That's Lawrence Taylor!
And Dave Rothenberg.
That's Lawrence Rothenberg. Taylor!
Why not?
Yeah, I don't know if that's
the best
thing.
Hear what he's... Jim is a bright man, an educated man. He calls up, he's like, you had a genius idea yesterday.
Well, I don't think anyone disagrees that the idea is great. I mean, it's essentially a Buffalo Wild Wings at a rest stop.
No. It's beyond that.
It's more inclusive than that, Rico.
Yes.
It's Vegas. Like, you're pulling off the highway going to a little Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, slice essentially, of Vegas. You get off the road and your life goes off the rails. That's
exactly
what happens
right.
at the Dave Rothenberg
rest area. That might be our slogan. Right?
Yeah, but it's like it's a detour that leads to, like, more, like, life issues.
Okay. And maybe on your way out, we have, like, a counseling center.
Where you try to pick up the pieces?
Right. You have
vacation's canceled
while you pump your own gas. Now someone will come out and be like, listen, Steve, you okay? You want to come in and sit down and talk?
No, you're going to have to have someone come out and explain to your family why vacation is canceled. Oh, it's because Dad lost all your money at the casino in the rest area. And we can't afford gas now.
It's going to be quite the rest area. That's going to be quite the rest area.
The Dave Rothenberg rest area.
Yeah, we have big plans.
The untucked rest area.
I don't know why you laugh. That's
and
Straight Talk
aboard.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract.
And welcome
no
aboard.
Compromise. Stop that. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And how about this, Rick? You can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com. All right, let's continue with the Saquon conversation. 800-919-3776. And your thoughts about him saying, you know, I'm not sure about the start of this coming season. I'm telling you, if he's not ready week one, at least me, and maybe it's unfair, I will be very, very upset. I've been dead with the Giants for a couple of years. I'm alive, I'm raring to go, and anything outside of a real competitive season will send me off the deep end. 800-919-3776. Also, the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back. Friday, August the 20th, Bar A in Lake Como, New Jersey becomes, this is very clever, Bar K. Make your plans to head down to the Jersey Shore to join the Michael K. Show live from 2 to 6:30 p.m. with special musical guest the Pat Roddy Band. Tune into the K Show today for two chances to score VIP access, all brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, Calandra's Bakery, and Yingling Flight. You must be at least 21 years of age to enter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How much of a downgrade, and obviously it's a downgrade, Rick, but how much of a downgrade am I going from Barkley to Booker in your mind?
I mean, it's absolutely a downgrade.
I mean, is it like, he's not unplayable though, right? He's a
decent
backup
running back. No, he's not unplayable. No, he's not unplayable. And I think you saw it last year with Wayne Gallman. I mean, it's when all of a sudden now Daniel Jones, you're going to try to keep him healthy also. But when he becomes an option to run the football because he's a really good athlete, it helps your run game, especially if your offensive line is better. And no, by the way, you have Kenny Golladay, who's a legitimate number one wide receiver. So it'll help Devontae Booker. My argument to you would be, rather than focus on just week one or potentially week two, whenever he comes back, you want him healthy for the whole season.
If that means
he has to miss week one,
I get
then
it.
He's going to have to miss week
but
one.
But here's the thing, and Chris will attest to this. How many years now in a row, Chris, have the Giants been 0-4? And by the time we get to the end of October, it's like, well, the Giants are done. I'm terrified of that happening yet again this season. And that's why, with this team more than any other, it's like, oh, God, if I don't have all my pieces, now I'm really worried.
Yeah, Dave, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, the Giants need to get out to a fast start. And they had a lot of reasons why they struggled last year. You know, you're talking about implementing a whole new system on the offensive end with Jason Garrett, a bunch of moving parts with the offensive line. Like, you could understand the struggles early on. Saquon Barkley was lost in week two. So you get that. But this year, there aren't any excuses in place. And so if you didn't have Saquon early on, like that would be a big hit to your offense. One that I'm not sure they're going to be able to overcome, even with signing a veteran backup in Devin Booker, who needs to hold on to the ball, by the way. But like, I still get concerned because if this offense is not at full strength, what does that mean for the confidence of your quarterback, who is the most important player for this team in 2021? Like, if Saquon Barkley's not available, then that's going to allow defenses to lock in on Daniel Jones a little bit more, to key in on those receivers a little bit more. What does that do to his confidence in trying to get him to be built up to be the quarterback to live up to the draft status that he had 3 years ago? Like, that's my biggest concern about Saquon not being available early. It's like, what does that do to Daniel Jones and him building confidence early on this season?
And what kind of legs is Devin Booker going to have after playing in the NBA Finals?
That's right. A dual sport athlete.
Here's the thing,
Devin Booker, Devontae Booker, you know what
If
I mean.
You can't – listen – I understand how important Saquon Barkley is. And I think, and I'm not just saying this to make you guys feel better. I think the Giants have a legitimate chance in this division. And in saying that, if you can't beat the Denver Broncos with Drew Locke as their quarterback at home in week one without Saquon Barkley.
You say that. I think the spread is a pick 'em on that game.
I don't care
Denver's
what the spread
a really
is.
Good defense. That's really good defense.
That's fine. You got a really good defense. If you can't beat them at home in week one without Saquon Barkley, then I don't know how much I love your chances.
But then you got to watch the football team on the road.
Well, that's fine, and maybe
he's
back for week two. I'm not saying, listen, if it was Washington in Washington week one, yeah, we need all hands on deck. I would love to see, you know, Saquon Barkley at 110%. Yeah, absolutely. But if he needs an extra week, and I get him back for the last 16 because he now feels good about his
team. You're not wrong, but you come in here saying that this Denver game is just go win that, and you shouldn't be able to win it without Barkley. The Giants are getting a point in that game.
I don't care what the spread says. You need to win that game. It's at home. You got Washington in week two, which you don't love your chances. Then, I mean, a game against
Isn't
the Falcons
that a short
at home.
Week also?
A what?
I think that's a Thursday.
That's
that
a
game.
Short week.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you play the 12th. That's your first game against the Broncos at home. It's a must win, in my opinion, going into a Thursday game against Washington. You got to win week one. And then I got Falcons in week three. I feel good about my chances about that at home. And then I got the Saints on the road, the Cowboys on the road, the Rams. I mean, come on.
I don't like any of those games.
You have to win week one. You have to win week one.
This is exactly my point. So now week one is a monster game for the Giants.
But here's the other thing, though, Dave. Even if you get him back in week one, he's probably, like, you're going to have him, okay, come back in week one and then play on short week and play Thursday, two against Washington? Come on, man.
Yeah, but if he's not ready for week one, I mean, you're only talking about 3 days later. Yeah,
so he's not going to be ready for week two either?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're not going to play. I mean, you're not going to put him. Listen, coming off an ACL, I'm not exposing him to where he's playing on that. He's playing that opening game and then on short rest playing again on Thursday.
Look at all these spreads for week one. Oh. Can't wait for football.
You let him play week two. You give him you give him some extra time off, and then he can come back and play in week three too.
So his first game action going against the Washington football team in the regular season.
Well, listen, all the teams are good. I mean, all the teams are good. So I mean, you want him on short rest going up against Washington?
What I'm saying is you want to know whether or not he's healthy, and if he's not healthy enough to be available for week one, I question whether or not he'd be healthy enough to be available for a Thursday night game in week
two. Okay, then you'll see him in week three then, if that's what you want. You'll see him in week three.
Yeah.
His season will start on September 26th.
Doesn't that make more sense, though? You're talking about the next game being 10 days later?
So I got Denver, Washington, Atlanta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Saints.
New Orleans, Dallas, and the Rams?
Yep.
I mean, games 4, 5, and 6 are awful.
Yeah, it's not great.
I got to be 2-1 after three.
And then 2 weeks later after the Rams, Dave, you're on the road in Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, that's just an automatic loss.
Oh, you got the Bucs coming to the Giants.
November 22nd. I think that's a primetime game.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. A Monday night game. Monday night affair. But by the way, did you hear about the Manning contingent? We'll be doing some Monday night football games.
Alternate broadcast.
Oh, I'm all in on that.
They finally got Peyton. They finally got him.
That's been in the works for a long time. They finally got Peyton.
Well, everyone's wanted him. I mean, Peyton could have had his pick of what he wanted.
I think he did have his pick.
He did.
Well, no, I dub networks. And now he gets a chance to work with his brother. That's awesome.
Yeah, joint production. Omaha Production Company. How about that? Omaha and ESPN Plus.
I wonder who's going to be the voice in between those two guys.
Peyton Manning called me!
I wonder if Peyton will get Adam Gase a job on the broadcast.
Maybe Adam will be the play-by-play voice on that broadcast. Yeah.
So, Adam, what would you say that they shouldn't do in the spot? Tell us what you do so the team could do the opposite of what you
You're
do.
Never going to get over that, are you?
No, never. No, I mean, he's ruining careers. I mean,
if you were to walk down the street and see Adam, if you were to walk down the street and see Adam Gase, would you say something to him?
No. No, I would just ignore him. I mean,
this is why you're a better person than I am. If I was a Jets fan and I saw Adam Gase, I wouldn't be able to keep my mouth shut when I walked by him.
Yeah, maybe because I've been told like you suck.
Hey,
people walk by
you.
Like I would.
You're a loser.
I think he knows he's not good.
No way.
You two were so excited after you sat down with him in training.
He was a wonderful man.
Y'all were excited. Y'all like maybe he's learned his lesson from Miami. He's going to be different with the Jets. That's what you guys told me.
I stand by you to fall in love with him too. I stand by it.
It wasn't any different than the 3 years we saw from Miami. Wasn't any different.
He was affable. He was personable. He was engaging.
And he was incompetent as a head coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I still stand by it that if you were there at Jets training camp, you would have fallen in love the same way we did.
So you got hypnotized by the eyes.
Hypnotized.
That's how it worked?
Hypnotized.
Crazy.
Hey,
don't
let that fool me.
Don't let Canty fool you either. Canty was in love with McCagnan, too. Love McCagnan. McCagnan didn't do a great job either.
No, McCagnan didn't do a great job, but I mean, I feel like we don't know what those McCagnan draft picks could have turned into because of what Adam Gase was being a disaster of a head coach. I mean, when your head coach comes out and says, the play calls aren't the problem, the guys just need to execute better.
I wish I wouldn't have done that.
Come on, man.
That almost sounded like RJ from yesterday.
I wish I wouldn't have done that.
That could be RJ from yesterday, that voice right there.
He was struggling. I give him credit, though.
But
honestly, what a misstep from RJ yesterday. Why not just take the day? Why not take the Monday and really recover?
Oh, because I mean, the guy wants to work. He wants to be a part of the show. I give him tons of credit.
Yeah, but is that in his best interest and the show's best interest?
Oh, is it in Saquon Barkley's best interest to play Week One?
I think it probably is. Yeah,
we'll play football.
No, it's your best interest.
It is.
It's in your best interest.
We have the Giants.
But we are aligned. Saquon and I are aligned in our interests.
I don't necessarily know if that's the truth.
What?
I don't think it's
you know
the
what
truth.
I'm thinking in my head, guys? This is why you don't take a running back with the second overall.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Because you don't have to handle him with kids' gloves if you don't. If you're talking about a guy being a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, it doesn't have to be this conversation about, oh, we've got to make sure we take care of the long-term interests of the player. Like, you don't have to worry about the long-term. Like, I mean, you use the guy for what he brings to the table, and then you move on to the next one because your team doesn't have significant draft capital invested in that dude. Like, this is one of those things with Saquon, man. It drives home the fact that you don't take a running back that high because of all the positions on a team, they break down the quickest.
Especially when you draft him the second overall and you don't really have an established quarterback that's the face of your franchise. Eli's gone. You traded Odell Beckham Jr. So, I mean, Saquon Barkley becomes the face of your franchise, which you have to treat differently than just some third-round running back, whoever it ends up being.
The whole thing's a disaster. It really is. And he better produce this year. I like him. I think he's a good player. He better produce this year.
Yeah, but you want him for the entire year.
I get
and
it.
And that could mean sacrificing the first couple weeks.
Yeah, but if I start out 1-4, I mean, really, if I start out 0-2 and then I get Barkley back, I mean, he's going to have to be phenomenal. I have to change the name of my dog.
Yeah, but I mean, the schedule does you no favors, though. Having it start where you're on the short week immediately. That does you no favors.
I agree.
You're right.
But because, you know, I mean, the most sense, you're not going to want to hear this, but you know, I mean, the most sense is to...
Bring him back week three?
Week three.
Yes.
Or have him play sparingly, maybe if you want to, in that week two game, and then he'll have 10 days off.
Yeah, but if you bring him back week three, that gives him essentially an extra month to rehab. You know what I'm saying? Like that, I mean, that does kind of make the most sense.
As long as I'm at least 1-1. I mean, if I'm 0-2 and I bring him back week three, my season is teetering on being over.
He had 17 games, Dave.
It doesn't matter. We just went through weeks.
I mean, they've...
We just went through weeks 4, 5, and 6.
Beaten.
If I'm 0-2...
They have beaten the optimism right out of you.
No, I'm optimistic, but it's going to fade quickly.
Yeah, but you don't know what. Listen, you don't know what the Saints are going to be with Jameis Winston. You have no idea.
I know that's a tough place to play. No matter who the quarterback is,
especially now when you're finally getting fans back.
You're going to get fans back. Dallas is going to be tough for the Giants. The Rams might be the best team in the NFC. They do not have an easy run. You just went through Kansas City. I get early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean you got Kansas City.
Yeah. I better win
Bucks.
Games.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Your Jets are just rolling along, aren't they? Very functional, very quiet, very under the radar this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're doing right now.
It's beautiful.
We had the list yesterday, 20th. I'll take it. The next 3 years. New coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. New Jets, baby. Joe Douglas drafting well. Stout offensive line.
Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Feels great.
Are you nervous, excited?
No, because this is how we always feel. This is the most optimistic we are.
What is
before the season starts?
Yeah. Before the season starts.
The New York Jets. Jets.
How do you screw that up?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's four letters.
Canty was, I mean, he was set up. He knew it. You could hear it in his voice.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Rico, we actually had the evidence that I was set up, though. Like, we had the card get placed on social media. Like, my guy, license plate guy, put it out there. Like, you could see the card. It had Lorenzo Carter with Clemson on it.
Yep. But you hear the defeat in Chris's voice. Like, you as he's saying Clemson, it's as if he's saying, I know he didn't go to Clemson, but I'll say Clemson regardless. Listen to this. You can hear it.
Lorenzo Carter, linebacker, Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah, I took it down a notch, Dave. You're right.
Yeah. I mean,
I knew it was wrong. I knew it was the wrong thing to do.
And I'll defend you. But how do you spell Jets, J-E-T-E?
The New York J-E-T-E Jets.
I don't know.
I don't know how you bounce back from that.
The Jete.
That's the Jetes, yeah.
The Jetes. Coached by Adam Gase.
he couldn't even coach that. Don't give him any credit.
So I'm going to let you choose your own adventure. You remember those books, Choose Your Own Adventure books?
I do.
Or you guys too young? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a list of the top skill position teams in the NFL based solely on skill position players, not inclusive of quarterback. Or we can get into Jeff Bezos is going to space later today. Let you guys choose.
Well, let's save space. Let's get into
save
I like
space.
Your lists. Yeah.
You like the list?
I love the lists.
Okay.
You're a big list guy, aren't you, Rick?
Big list guy.
I don't blame you for that. Who doesn't love a good list?
Who doesn't love a good list? Come on.
I absolutely agree. All right. So, we're ranking. This is ESPN.com. Each of the league's 32 teams by their skill position talent without the impact of the quarterback, offensive line, or scheme. Okay? You understand?
Understand.
Mm-hmm. All right. You guys have been sent the list. Full transparency. Have you looked?
I have not looked at the list.
Chris?
I have not looked at the list, Dave, because I knew you wanted to play the list game.
Okay.
This is what you do.
Okay. Are we playing the full game now, or we're just kind of peruse the list?
Oh, however you want to do it, Dave, but I know you like to go through the rundown and see if we can guess the top 10.
I'm willing to do that.
That's your thing.
It involves the music and all of it. I can do that.
I'm just glad you agree.
I'm not telling you what to do, Dave. I mean, you're the one that took us down this path. I want you to kind of cook the meal. You decide how we're going to do this.
I'm just glad you didn't read the entire, like the whole parameters, like the entire paragraph of the list, like yesterday.
You know what? I want people to be informed and educated. I'm trying to drive the show. They might not know what we're talking about, and I'm trying to give them the opportunity. And for you, with your snotty comments all the time,
we're trying to keep up while they drive. I'm
sick
and asleep listening to you.
I'm sick and tired of it. You know what? Then they stop at the Rothenberg rest area.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have the Dave Rothenberg rest area yet.
Well, we should. I would love a rest area to be named after me. I come up with this ingenious. How about once in a while, instead of beating me over the head with things I don't do well, you say, you know what? That topic was phenomenal. So much so that Greeny stole it for his show yesterday. Why not say that?
I think I did say that yesterday. I thought it was a great idea. How many times do I need to pat you on the back?
Every once in a while would be nice.
It was an excellent idea, Dave. Excellent
idea. I don't want you to mock me now.
I'm not mocking you. It was a great idea. The rest of the area did not fare well in the poll, though, unfortunately.
See where it lands. Which of these would you most like to have named in your honor? An airport, a restaurant dish, a mountain, or a rest area? If you're just joining us, this stemming from Dave Rothenberg saying he wants to have a rest area, literally a place that people pull off the highway to pee, named in his honor on the New Jersey Turnpike.
At least he gave you credit, though, Dave.
I give him credit for giving me credit. That was wonderful. But the problem is, you can't take a rest area and compare it with a mountain. Of course it's going to finish last compared to those things.
Yeah, but I don't like how we set it up, though. Like, I mean, we weren't like the
he
focus
took what I did and took it and didn't. It was just different what he did.
Yeah, but the way he described the rest area was where people just stopped to go pee. That's not what I mean. That's not your rest area.
No,
that's secondary. It's going to be a
flush bathroom. There's going to be, you can get a manicure, a pedicure, a massage. There's going to be a gambling center. There's going to be sports gambling, card gambling, Shake Shack, all of it. You name it.
It's a mall.
High class rest area.
So it's a mall. Essentially, it's a mall.
Where do you split aces in the mall?
Well, gambling,
in the parking
of course.
Lot?
I mean, yeah, that's Vegas. I mean, so that's the holdup, though. Can we do that at this rest area?
Listen to me. I'm going to have a fill-up station, okay? I'm going to have some fast food. There'll be some quick pizza you can get in and out with, thin-crusted pizza, as well as thick-crusted pizza. It's all mapped out.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's all mapped out.
I don't want some like willy-nilly pizza place. I want legit places here. I mean, if you can have Shake Shack, we have to have a legit pizza place.
You think I wouldn't have legit pizza?
I don't know with you. I mean, yeah, you could cut corners because you're more focused
on just
pizza gambling.
We might have, you know what? At the Rothenberg Rest Area, the RRA, we might actually have the all-you-can-eat-until-you-throw-up Rick DiPietro buffet.
Yeah, I don't know about buffets now in the current climate. I'm not sure how buffets are doing.
No?
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I don't think buffets are... I don't know if that's a thing anymore.
And you can also have your food brought to you at the tables.
Or the Lazy Boy.
Or the Lazy Boy. As you watch on multiple big screen televisions.
You got to have the best wings, too. I mean, if we're going to have sports on television, we got to have the best wings.
Oh, we're bringing in the best of chefs.
That's important. The food is important. We can't.
And here's the beauty, because you're probably be at the commencing of a long journey. You leave your car for an hour, oil change, lube up, gas, all of it.
So a gas station. Okay, yeah. That seems in a rest area. That seems
no.
A necessity.
But you can't stop at a rest area now and get a quick oil change. That doesn't exist.
Probably stop at a gas station on the rest area and get an oil change. I don't know how quick it's going to be.
Right, but at hours, it's going to be quick. It's going to be 15 minutes. In and out, oil change, while you eat and gamble. And
but
then
do you really
want to
be in and out if you're going to the RRA? I mean, isn't the point to spend a little more time there than you would a typical rest area?
It's all been
worked
out right
now. I'm looking for excuses. Yeah, I want the whole deal.
Or take an hour. Take two for the oil
change.
Whatever
you want.
Who cares?
Detail it. I mean, retint the window. I want all of it. I'm hanging out.
Maybe you spend time in the spa.
No, of course. Of course you're that long ride.
Maybe you spend time in the spa.
I think you have to. I mean, a long ride, you're going to need a little bit of a back
That's
rub.
Right. Lower back has some knots in it. Not anymore.
Get out the knots. Have some garlic knots. A little pizza.
That's right. It's going to have it all.
I think we need to make this happen.
I think so as well.
We're just going to find the right spot. I have to look up
New Jersey rest areas and see which one, in fact, we're going to take over.
Why does that
feel like
New Jersey?
The RRA is going to ruin a lot of happy homes?
Why can't we do a Connecticut rest area?
Do they have rest areas in Connecticut?
Yes.
They do?
Yes, there's rest areas in Connecticut.
Named rest areas.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I don't know if they're named.
All right, so I don't think we take over for the Vince Lombardi.
He is bigger than the rest area in Connecticut.
How about this?
Find some remote place to put it.
I have it. So the Vince Lombardi rest area, we're not taking that over, right? It's a Vince Lombardi. The Thomas Edison rest area, it's Thomas Edison. The Alexander Hamilton service area, no, we're not taking that. Here we go. The Joyce Kilmer service area.
There you go.
Who's Joyce Kilmer?
That's the one, Dave.
Or
that is the one.
Or the Molly Pitcher service area. That can be ours.
I think either one of those work, Dave.
John Fenwick service area? I don't know who that is.
Joyce Kilmer was an American writer and poet.
Yeah. The Richard Stockton service area?
Yeah, no. You're putting us in a tough spot here. Just naming names and us not knowing. I mean,
well, exactly. That's the point. If you're not familiar with the person, are they really deserving of their own rest area when I have a vision? I'm not taking it from Lombardi. Edison, he seemed to have a lot of important things that he did. I don't want his or Alexander Hamilton's or Grover Cleveland or Woodrow Wilson. Even James Fenimore Cooper. But you're telling me I can't take over the Montville rest area?
I think we petition. I think there's a chance. Listen,
the
Molly
Pitcher service area?
I can't guarantee it, but I think we have a shot.
I think we have a tremendous shot. All right. We'll get back to the sports in just a moment. It is now time for a little CMT.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
All right, here we go, fellas. Little Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash. Going to start with a little baseball. Going to go baseball to start this off before we get into some NFL and some NBA. We talked about it earlier in the show. Mets, Edwin Diaz, third straight game with a blown save. We got starting pitching issues. We got some issues at shortstop defensively with Guillorme, who's usually shorthanded. So I'm going to ask you now, Dave, right around the corner, owner was talking about it, aggravating people last night with the trade deadline. Now, what do you address? Bullpen, starter, position player. Bullpen, starter, position player.
I feel like this is a tad lazy because you did the same question, I think, last week.
But your answer might change now.
Bullpen, starter, position. All right. I'm going to marry the starter. And that's like long, long-term, 58 years kind of marriage. Because now I don't know about DeGrom. I don't know what's going to happen with Syndergaard. And Stroman has not been as good of late. Neither has Walker. So I'm going to marry the starter. I stand by it, especially with the way Diaz has been lately. I'm going to cuddle the bullpen, and a real cuddle, like an embrace, a cuddle, and I don't know where that leads to. And I think they have enough. I think if you add to the rotation and to the pen, I can trash the position player, and that's what I will do.
Yeah, I agree across the board. I don't know how much time we need to spend on explanations. I'm with Dave on this one. Marry starting pitching, cuddle the bullpen, trash position player.
All right, here we go. Moving forward, Saquon Barkley. Dave wants him back week one. When do you expect Saquon Barkley back, or do you want him? Obviously, when you want him. You expect him back in the preseason, week one, or sometime after week one?
I am going to trash the preseason. I mean, running backs that aren't coming off of reconstructive surgery on their knees don't play in the preseason. So I don't expect we'll see Saquon then. I will marry week one. I will cuddle sometime other than week one. I just feel like the Giants are being conservative with what they're putting out there in the media. But I fully expect that Saquon will be healthy enough to be a key contributor at the start of the regular season.
Well, it's apparent that these are not great CMTs to begin this week, because I agree across the board. You won't see him in the preseason. You'll see him week one, and I will marry week one. I will cuddle post week one, and I will trash the preseason.
You know what? I'm done. RJ, shut the music off. I'm done.
No.
I'm not doing
CMT. No.
I'm done.
Don't pack up your toys and go home. Just be better.
No, I'm done.
Be better. We're challenging you.
I'm done.
No.
I'm done.
No.
Get in the list. I'm done. It's over.
No.
No more CMT. You killed it. It's over.
Don't be a baby. Come
no,
on.
It's over.
Come on. Pretend it's a buffet.
It's
eat
over.
Your face off. Eat. Eat.
Over.
Eat.
I'm done.
Nope.
Keep going
That's
until
it.
He throws
Let's
up.
Let's go. That's right. Keep going until someone throws up, which will happen if you ask another one of those in question three.
I'm not asking another question.
Come on.
You guys, make up your own questions for CMT. I'm not joking. I'm not doing another question.
Come on. Stop being a baby.
I'm not doing it.
Nope. I'm not doing it.
You have to.
Nope.
You are such a baby.
Nope. Done. No more CMT. Cuddle, marry, trash has been killed. Courtesy
of
Dave
Rothenberg.
It has
not been killed.
The guy who does zero extra work, zero, has killed CMT. Dead.
Well, he's got the big Untucked podcast. I mean, he's got
dead. No. And here we go. Look, I've been awful, so let me deflect the Rick DiPietro mantra.
I'll take the bullet for that question. That's not a soul me made up that question. I can promise you that.
Okay.
I'll take the bullet for CMT is dead. You killed it. It's over.
Question three.
Find a new segment for Tuesdays that you can actually work on and do some. Like, I'm not going to sit around and have people ask me question segment.
You
put together a segment.
You know what?
How about we try that?
Forget it. If then Wednesdays are off too. Then forget about Stump Rothenberg. You wouldn't let me quit that, and you can't quit this. So be better.
I quit. Done. Watch me. Quit. Done.
Guest on DCR Peer via the Goodyear Hotline, and you could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Just visit Progressive.com. All right, let's go. Question three.
Bucks, Suns, game six tonight. Bucks win the series tonight, win the NBA championship. Bucks win in seven, or the Suns win in seven. Cuddle, marry, trash.
All right, I'm gonna marry Bucks win tonight and end the NBA season. I'm going to cuddle Suns win in seven. And I'm going to trash Bucks win in seven. If the Bucks want to win this series, it ends tonight. Otherwise, Phoenix will win in seven.
I will agree with Dave, although I will say I wouldn't dismiss the Bucks winning in game seven in Phoenix. They've already shown that they're capable of winning it by doing that in game five. And the Phoenix Suns, they haven't lost this many games in a row at any point this season. So, I mean, to say that they're going to lose four in a row, I would expect to see a desperate Suns team tonight, and they probably find a way to try to get that done. But I still think the Bucks win this series based on some of the mismatches that we've had.
Beautiful question. You really got yourself right back on track.
Nah, damage is done. All right, moving ahead. Here we go. So, Jeff Bezos is flying to space today. I'm not sure if you guys saw the story. The guy who initially bid and won the $28 million to fly up today.
Does he have some, other plans?
Oh, yeah. There's a scheduling conflict. He can't do it.
How?
I have no idea.
What could he have that he's not going to go to space after spending, what do you say, $28 million?
$28 million. Yeah.
Oh, in space.
So he's not going. He's going to go
on an appointment?
I don't know what he has. Something more important than going to space, I guess.
How is that possible?
It isn't. He must have just chickened out. Like, so let's have someone go first, and then, you know, once everyone comes back safe, I'll go on the next one.
Oh, I wanted to go, but I can't because I'm seeing my chiropodist. So, you know what? You go.
Okay, here's what's crazy, though. So, they take the runner-up. So, I mean, this is for charity. They had the bidding, the $28 million. So, they're now taking the runner-up. The runner-up's not going. He's letting his 18-year-old son go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, how could you feel good about that?
I don't know if I'm sending my son up.
No, I'm not going.
Well, if your son wants to go.
I don't know. Maybe I try. It's the first time. I try.
Win
I go first.
Horse in space.
So anyway, so that's going up today, right? So I'll ask you this. If you had the opportunity, would you fly to space, would you climb Mount Everest, or would you run with the Bulls?
Oh, God.
Ugh.
You know an adventure junkie? You've heard that phrase?
Yes, I have heard that phrase.
I am not that. So these three things you're giving me are terrifying, to say the least. Chris, it's your turn. You go ahead.
Okay, so this is fairly easy for me. I'm going to trash fly to space. I ain't lost nothing up there. And to take it a step further, I'm not getting on a plane that doesn't have a damn pilot. So I'm out on that one. I will marry climbing Mount Everest because guess what? If something goes wrong, if I don't feel right, I can turn my happy ass right back around and go down the mountain.
Now, hang on. Let me clarify this. Do you have to make it to the top of Everest, or can you not feel well and turn around and come back down?
No, you're climbing it. I mean, whatever you decide
to do. So you have to go all the way to the
top. Every climb
doesn't
make it to the top of Everest, Dave. Like, every time they go out, they don't always make it up there. Just saying.
Well, in this exercise, Rick, do I have to make it to the top, or can I say, you know what, I'm feeling lightheaded, I'm 18,000 feet, I'm turning around and coming back down?
No, you can't just pull. Like, you got to battle through it.
So you have to go all the way up to the top.
Oh, I could absolutely just pull out. No question
your Sherpa
about it.
Your Sherpa is dragging you up the mountain, if he has to.
Can I have oxygen?
You have to have oxygen, yeah. That's a prerequisite.
You can't
breathe up there.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't like my options, but I would marry Everest, and I will cuddle run with the bulls.
All right. I'm going to marry running with the bulls. And here's what I'm doing. The second those bulls are released, I'm climbing whatever building is the nearest to me, and I'm going as high up as I can, and I'm standing there until the bulls are out of eye shot.
I would love to see you get gored by a bull. Love it.
I know you would, and that's why you're a sick, sadistic.
I would probably come with you. I'm going to marry that myself just so I can trip you as you're trying to climb out.
You probably would. You'd feed me the bulls.
That's what you would do.
The bull would probably fall, break a leg, and you would say, oh, look at that, dinner, and I'll eat it all the way up. I will. Oh, God. I'm going to cuddle Mount Everest, but I don't think I would do well there, even a little bit. And then I'm going to trash space. You couldn't pay me enough money to take a flight up to space.
Win horse in space!
$28 million?
No.
I couldn't
no
take
way.
That $28 million, put it in your pocket. You wouldn't go on that?
Nope. I swear to you, zero chance.
What good is the $28 million if you don't make it back from space?
I would die. I would have.
Oh, listen, Branson made it back. Come on.
I'd have a panic attack.
His ship actually had a pilot.
It's only 62 miles. It's no big deal.
62 miles up.
No big deal.
No way. So what do? They go up, they sit there for a few minutes, and just come right back down?
I guess, yeah. Man, I guess the worst part is when you come back. Like, the coming back down is the sketchy part.
You're very sketchy. Yeah, that's awful. No, I don't even want to think about
all
it.
All right, last one. Here we go. Yeah. In honor of Dave Rothenberg's rest area. I'm not putting mountain in here because that's ridiculous. Obviously, you're going to take the mountain. You get an airport, a rest area, or a restaurant dish named after you. What you taking?
A restaurant dish? That's a terrible one. All right, so.
They're not going to name the restaurant after you.
Well, why not?
Well, because it's someone else's restaurant.
So?
It's nice they name a dish after you. You can have the Dave Rothenberg.
Ugh. So an airport, a dish at a restaurant, or a rest stop.
I don't know why you're attacking Greeny. That was his choice.
Who's up here? It's me, right?
It's you. Yep.
All right, I'm going to be true to myself. I started this whole thing. I wanted the rest area. I know how to make the rest area. I want to be involved in the rest area. I'll marry the rest area.
That's just being stubborn.
It's not being stubborn.
You know you want to marry the airport. You wanted the airport.
Now you're telling me my next option is like Rothenberg Frances or the Rothenberg International Airport. I'll take the airport to cuddle. And I will, what is a terrible option? I will trash the food.
Why are you taking shots at Greeny?
Because it's a bad job by him.
Well, Rick, I strongly disagree with Dave Rothenberg's take on this. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I will marry the restaurant dish, and here's why. I mean, of the options that you gave us, there's only one of these where somebody is truly happy. You're not happy when you're in the airport. You're really not happy when you're at a rest area. But you are happy when you sit down in a restaurant and you're having something to eat. The dish could be somebody's favorite meal. So I'll marry that. I will cuddle the airport because I just feel like that's more significant. And I will trash the rest area.
All right. There you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
What started out the final edition as trash ended as a Mary. Very well done with the last couple questions.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.